This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Let's go! What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Bingetown TV. I am Paul, and with me today are Kathleen and producer Dave. We're here to talk about Rick and Morty, Season 5, Episode 3, A Rick Convenient Truth. And Kathleen is here to be on her first Rick and Morty episode. And I got to say, I wish it was a better one for you, Kathleen.
Yeah, I'm here. Also, I don't think that's the title of the episode. I think it's A Rick Convenient Mort.
No, that's totally what it is. Yeah, okay. I'm mixing up.
That's me, baby. I'm here to correct you,
yeah,
bitch.
I'm sorry. I was saying the actual an inconvenient truth.
Yeah.
Never seen it. Have no idea how it relates to this episode. But
right.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Thank you, Kathleen. Convenient Mort.
Yeah. I'm happy to be here with the boys. I'm like a very, I've seen every Rick and Morty episode once. So I'm just here for some commentary and to talk very basic shit. But these boys are the experts. I just miss them so much. So I want to hang out because they're so handsome.
We love having you here. Just curiously, out of curiosity, what is your favorite episode of the new season so far? Like one, two, or three?
Oh my God, the decoy episode is fucking incredible. Okay. It's just so smart. I can't believe it. It blows my mind.
After talking it through, I realized that it was like such a genius episode. I still think personally episode one's my favorite, but...
I was saying on about episode two, there wasn't as many jokes, but the writing itself was enough to carry it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this one, it was just kind of like there was a more serious tone to it. And
I mean, listening to you guys talk through episode two as well, there's so much hidden in it that once you dive deep, it's like these people are just unbelievable. Their brains work in ways that we could never imagine.
I'll tell you right now, we don't have nearly as many Easter eggs as we did in any other episode. Like this episode just straight up was just like there wasn't anything to uncover here, to be honest. Like there's not gonna be much for us to talk about.
I will say I love when I watch something animated, whether it's Family Guy or whatever it is, and I can guess who the voice actor is, which is amazing. So right off the bat, Alison Brie is Plantina, which is great because Dan Harmon did Community. Alison Brie is a big Community. And then what's her name from American Pie and A Cinderella Story? Because that's who Daphne is. You know, the big woman with the big tits. She's Stifler's mom.
Yeah.
That's Daphne for sure.
100%.
And then Steve Buscemi is Eddie.
Yeah.
Which is great. And I love being able to call that out. So that was a fun thing for me this episode. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, it's so obvious. I love that.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
All right.
But I didn't like Planetina.
No.
Damn.
I don't.
Gag.
It's funny you say that because as I read the Reddit for this, like someone's like, can't wait to see Planetina again.
Ew.
I think we will. Just how it ended, I feel like she will.
I think
come
so.
Back.
I think she'll come back. Maybe her and Mr. Nimbus get it on at some point. That's what
nice.
I was. Yeah, I was thinking about that. But no, I'm reading the Reddit. I'm going through the Reddit right now to see if there's anything they caught that we missed. Not really, but it seems like everyone's in the same agreement that this is like one of the weaker episodes of the entire series, which I will kind of agree with. Like, I will always enjoy watching a Rick and Morty episode, but like this one, I will probably no rewatch value for me personally.
Yeah, I mean, like you just said it, all Rick and Morty episodes are good TV because Rick and Morty is just the writing standard is so high. But yeah, I don't know. This one's bottom of the list here for me personally. But everybody has their own opinions. I was reading some people. This is like my favorite episode ever.
Yeah, one person comments, this is one of the best episodes of the whole series. And I'm just like,
what?
That person's like main thing in life has to be climate change then. You know what I mean? Like it has to be because that's the whole point of the episode.
Probably a Captain Planet, like
whatever shit. Yeah.
That is fucking amazing.
Yeah, big tree hugger.
Yeah, cycle.
But real quick before we get into it, just obviously this whole episode, like you said, is a mashup between Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth documentary and a crossover between Captain Planet. Like it's a 1990s like superhero cartoon show about like saving the earth basically, so it's kind of a play on those.
I didn't like the A or the B plot really. I mean the B plot which is Summer and Rick is fine, and it's a good Luke's not on this episode, but he was saying that in the decoy episode they kind of seemed like from episodes one to two they were like Summer rocks, and then in episode two they're like fuck you Summer, so they're back on the Summer train.
So I was actually going to mention that too. I think it was because it was a decoy family that was saying, "Oh, like fuck you, Summer," like roasting her. That technically count as like them like hating on Summer anymore. So I think we are currently on the page that like Summer is one of the homies now. You know,
love that.
Definitely,
yeah, I do too. I do too.
Definitely one of the homies, but
I love Summer.
Yeah, you guys said it. I mean, the decoy family. I guess they didn't have that bonding, growing time with Summer and having all those crazy adventures. But she is like a staple that you can rely on.
Adios, C-words.
Yeah, she puts on her 2010 New Year's Eve.
I was going to ask, like, do you think that's going to weirdly come in, or is that just like a funny, stupid thing? Like the year 2010, I was like, I'm clocking that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Or that's just her go-to, like, you know, New Year's end of the world party.
You think she said, "You can suck my bigger tit"?
I did hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they bleep in. I was like, she had to have said tit. What else would it have been?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's got one bigger one.
Of course.
It's funny that you heard it bleeped out, because it wasn't bleeped out.
I don't think
the website we have like says the swears. So I didn't hear it.
How about the mouths for the buttholes? Were they blurred?
Mouths.
No, but
when they were eating ass in the spaceship. When they're pretending, it was blurred for me. And the elbows are blurred.
Are you
for
watching
me.
Elbows, North Korea?
Elbows.
I'm watching on the DVR for Cartoon Network.
Adult Swim?
Adult Swim, yeah. That's just DVR'd.
Just the elbow titties were blurred for us.
Yeah, so the mouths, the tongue and the mouths for eating ass, we were all blurred. And I was like, honestly, the blur is freaking me out more.
Yeah. Like, what are they doing with that tongue that I can't see? That's amazing, though. Yeah. I had no idea. All right, yeah, let's just jump into it. It starts out great. You know, Rick and Morty are coming out of this place to pick up their t-shirts, and their t-shirts are just fucking amazing. It's just Rick and Morty pussy pounders. And just like all of a sudden this acid rain comes out of nowhere, and this weasel up on a flying motorcycle saying like, "Oh, like my acid rain's going to destroy everything." Basically, it seems like a normal Rick and Morty episode right off the bat. I was like, all right, this guy is going to like diesel weasel. He's going to be here in a lot.
It was so funny, like watching Morty struggle to get into the spaceship.
Yeah.
Rick's just like, he's getting poured acid rain on him. And Rick's just like, dude, stop fucking pulling the door as I'm unlocking it. Like, just like a simple car issue, you know?
Yeah.
You do. It's just
fun. Try now. And Morty, as soon as the rain hits, too, Rick's like, protect the t-shirts. Like, that's what's most valuable. This is where Planetina comes in, and she saves the day. And Diesel Weasel runs off or whatever, but Morty is just immediately.
He's a hornball, bro.
Yeah, he's just like, wow.
He's
like
smitten right away.
Always.
Her. Yeah, there's any like somewhat attractive female character.
Stick a pair of tits on something and he's into it.
Yeah, just like that. The episode where the planet of they have the one day a year where they kill everybody.
Oh, the purge.
I was like, the plague. I kept thinking the plague is not the plague, but the purge episode, he meets that chick.
Season two.
Loves her immediately. But
yeah, it turns out to betray him.
Yeah.
He shoots Rick in the liver. Morty, she shot me in the liver. This is the hardest working liver in the galaxy. this is where Planetina like has like the only way you can save the Earth is through you, and like points at the camera and everything and winks. And Morty immediately is besessed. Rick throws his foamy tall boys. I don't know what, if that's a real thing, but that's what he was drinking the entire episode. It was a thing called foamies. I have no idea. But he throws it out the window, and Morty's like, dude, not right in front of her. And Rick has a great line, like, oh yeah, because that 0.001% of aluminum, we really needed that, right? So Planetina comes down. That's when they first start talking. And this was amazing because they were saying like, oh, like, yeah, we don't do dairy because that's like cruelty. But, you know, I know this cruelty free donut shop. OK, let me go ask if Rick wants to go. Morty runs over, throws the Pussy Pounders T-shirt at him, immediately turns it. He said he can't come. All right, let's go. Jumps in her arm and they go off.
Yeah. And then we get the little bit of backstory on who Planetina is. This is so funny when they're like, four of the world's, what is it they call
the four young adults representing each ethnicity,
each major ethnicity.
What were the major ethnicities? Black, Asian, white, and then what was the last one? Like Russian? Like
I don't even know.
Italian?
Ginger? Like I was trying to think.
Wait,
like
who? The white guy was Italian. Asian woman, a black dude.
Is the white guy Italian?
The white guy was like Steve Buscemi's character, Eddie.
Eddie.
He was just like Italian. I would say he's just like Italian.
Definitely
right?
Had to be.
But yeah, they each have rings that represent the four elements. And when you collide them all together, essentially Planetina is formed.
Yeah, this is Morty showing off this, you know, commercial to his, to, I think, Beth and Jerry, right? His parents.
Yeah, it was everyone just kind of bragging like, I have a girl now, or like, I'm trying to see this girl.
Yeah. And Beth is like, how old is she? Well, you know, she's an amalgamation of all the elements. So, you know, she doesn't really have an age, technically. Like, okay.
And then that's when Rick comes in with the blueprints, essentially.
Yeah. And it's so small, and there's probably not a deeper meaning behind it. But he has something. He's like, oh, Summer, don't worry. I have something so Rick-tastic, it's going to blow your mind. And then he slams the plans down and just knocks only Jerry's plates off the table. Oh, my egg plate. And yeah, this is where he says, you know, the three planets, they're all about to be destroyed, and all three planets are having a banger going away party. So I'm going to drug it up and suck it up before the world goes kablammy. And I'm taking my favorite granddaughter with me. And he throws on the Pussy Pounders t-shirt, and it crossed out Morty, and it has Summer. Yeah. And he drew on Morty a ponytail and two little lumps for boobs.
I just am now noticing that. It's so funny.
It's amazing.
I didn't love the vibes I was getting between Rick and Summer when they were talking about eating ass. He's like, she's like, I'm going to eat so much ass, you're going to shit. It's like, you're trying saying that to your grandpa. It's like freaking me out a little bit. There's a lot of like weird incest pedophile shit between the alien father and son banging. Rick or Morty, they mention he's a child multiple times with this obviously adult woman. Like, it's like this episode's like really crossing the line a little bit. Not that I don't love a line cross.
Yeah.
But it's just like some weird vibes. Like, would Summer and Rick would probably be like, ooh, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I don't want to know about you eating ass.
That was some like season that reminded me honestly of like season one kind of shit, where they would kind of have those moments where it was like him and Morty kind of talking about that. And then Beth or Summer would say something in the background. They'd be like,
ew,
Summer, what'd you say?
Yeah.
Ew, Summer. But now it's like, I guess that's kind of showing you that Summer is now taking Rick's or Morty's place in
one of the boys.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I love that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Would you like to have an orgy with your grandfather? Okay, I personally would not. This is where Morty sees that there's a huge forest fire going on four miles away from here. Like, hey, Mom, can I have a money for the train? She's like, no, you're not going to a forest fire. He's like, come on, this is the biggest forest fire of the year. And eventually he gets in this argument based. Says that I'm more mature than you think I am. You think every decision I make, I just fuck it up, which Dave was talking about this, and he does. But he runs away right as Summer kind of ignores Jerry and goes with Rick to these three apocalypse.
How?
What'd she say, Lean? See you later, C-word.
I have the whole quote. She's heartbroken. She's like, last time I checked, this wasn't Russia. My heart is broken, and I deserve to let loose, and if you don't like it, you can suck my bigger tit. Adios, C words.
So good.
And what's crazy too is if this show takes place in 2020 or whatever, 2021, and she has the 2010 New Year's glasses, she's like 17, right? She was 7 years old when that happened. So like,
I don't know.
It's very interesting. I clocked it both times I watched this episode. I was like,
it's hard to keep track.
Yeah.
So Morty ends up making it to the forest fire. And there's a news team there. It's Tony Galapagos.
Whoa, he saves a bunny, man. That's huge.
Rabbits.
That's
huge. That always hopping.
That catches Planetina's eye. But go ahead. Yeah, news team.
There's a news team there. Tony Galapagos. I don't know if he's been in it before, but that's his name. It's freaking awesome. They have the weirdest interaction. He saves a bunny. Bunnies always hopping, never stopping. Like, what the hell?
This is so corny.
It's really weird. This I don't like anytime Planetina talks, basically. Her voice is too corny the entire time. It's okay if you're corny. And then obviously she does have her villain moment at the end. But it's like there's not enough, like, she doesn't say a single funny thing the entire episode.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, really. And I get that she's supposed to be her number one priority, saving Earth. So she's like a positive, happy person. But still, like. Some of the stuff she was saying was like, come on.
Yeah.
Even Morty would be like, what the fuck?
Maybe if we saw the source material, we would.
Yeah. We were talking about this a little bit before. Planetina is supposed to be Captain Planet.
Yeah.
Basically like a complete ripoff. has
the colors are the same.
Yeah, same exact color schemes, same idea, basically. I don't know too much about Captain Planet, to be honest.
I think maybe that's, I guess, the play on what you were saying, like with her voice. Like, I think it's just like it's supposed to be like, because I think if you watch Captain Planet speak, like he's just like happy go lucky guy at all times, like just very corny kind of. But like, yeah. I don't know, though, either.
It's like a walking PSA.
Yeah. But we do get introduced to the four kids from the commercial. However, they aren't kids now. They are full grown adults. And we kind of in this scene get a little bit of a peek into her personal life of how she's just basically a prop for them.
Yeah.
Yes. They're basically acting like her manager is like, oh, like, do you look bigger? Did you eat? Yeah, I had half of a cruelty free donut. Like, oh, can't do that.
Who's this kid? Is he all right? Is he cool? She's like, yeah, he's fine. He's Morty, you know.
And Morty was hesitant to definitely say, like, hey, be my girlfriend because of the kids. He was like, oh, that seems like a lot to handle. But when the news team come over and Tony Galapagos asks, like, hey, who's this? Is he your boyfriend? Morty grabs her hands and says, yes.
The confidence.
Oh, yeah, the confidence. That's something that we have not seen with Morty, especially mm-hmm. with his relationship with
Jessica.
Exactly. Yeah. Jessica.
Yeah. He was doing, no, yeah, you're right.
I think he was playing it a little smooth. I mean, it's still like, I think this is a little bit, I think we do get a little bit of character growth from Morty yeah, in this episode for sure.
No Morty will ever be smoother than the Morty that loses all of his toxins. And then he becomes right. like the most confident person nicest yeah. person in the world. Like he's walking through the school parking lot, like catches a football, throws back, hey, it's up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was honestly, I know Kathleen just said it made her uncomfortable. I thought it was like the funniest conversation of the episode, probably.
Yeah, I probably agree with that, even though it made me a little. Yeah. It's just the vibes felt a little off when you think about it. But
yeah. Especially when you see their fingers moving. Yeah. And just like, ah! Yeah. But he has, yeah, I see now what you're talking about with the foamies. They're literally called Foamies Tall Boys, and there's like a million of them in the fucking car. So I don't know if it's like a sponsorship or something, you know?
That's what I was thinking, because every once in a while, they'll have the Arby's bag fly by the screen.
Yeah. They should have had a Wendy's.
Yeah, they should have. So this is where we get the awesome line. Rick saying, all right, here's the goal. We're not getting clingy, like absolutely no crying. And we're here to smash Max ass. Quantity over quality. Basically, yeah, we're going there. We're moving from butthole to butthole. And this is somewhere. I'm going to eat so much ass, you're going to shit. Oh, yeah. And then Rick's like, and I'm going to be over on the other side. Oh, sir, your ass hasn't even been eaten yet.
You're right. That was the best back and forth. The best conversation of the episode.
I agree with that.
Back to Plorty, Planetina, and Morty. That's the best couple name I had for them.
Plorty.
Yeah, this is where like he's laying down in his bed. They're texting like, oh, thanks for sending me the flowers. You thought Morty sent her the flowers.
Yes. The flowers are incredible. I love those.
It's just Morty and he's all smiling at this point. And
all sexiest scene.
Yeah, about to be. they're just like doing like the cheesiest like beginning of relationship talking, texting. Like, oh, I can't sleep. Like, oh, open the window. A little breath air or fresh air will, you know, help you. Goes to open it. She's right there. She comes in. They start kissing. And she was like, yeah, I ditched the kids. I told them I went to recycle batteries. So, yeah, basically, they're banging. Well, actually, this is a great time to bring up. Do you think Morty lost his virginity? Do you think he was a virgin before this? And did he technically lose it after this? Does Planetina count?
After watching, let me rephrase that. Gun to my head, before this episode, if you were to say, it's Morty a virgin, I'd be like, no. They've been on so much. I don't know that he banged a human.
Yeah. See, that could be the caveat.
That was one of the questions I had to Paul. And what I had said was there's one episode he has sex with that robot machine that gives birth to him having a child.
Mm.
But that robot was more of like, and then me and Paul were kind of talking, but that robot was more of like a sex doll where it wasn't really like, it didn't have sentience. Life to it. Yeah, it didn't have sentience to it. But then we were kind of talking. It's like, okay, like let's say artificial intelligence is a thing. You have sex with a robot. Does that still count as losing your virginity?
Yeah.
And that robot did create a son. So he was a father. Can you be a father without
a virgin?
Yeah. Can you be a virgin father? Is that...
If so, he's the first one to be. So
Immaculate Conception.
But yeah, you start a religion behind this guy.
This is definitely the first time Morty has sex with something living on screen, at least. Because there was also, apparently, I read this, but I can't accurately quote it, but apparently in that Rick Lantis episode or whatever, when they're leaving Atlantis, Morty does make a comment about like slamming mermaid puss, I think.
Yeah. So again, so, not a human.
But... Yeah, it's also a fish. Like, I don't know. So I think for
mermaids
sure,
can make decisions though. Where yeah, exactly. Mermaids over robots in the sentience.
Like, yeah.
Regardless, definitely. Morty is definitely 100% no longer a virgin at this point in time.
I'm going to go. It's up for debate. If they say explicitly in the show Morty is a virgin after this, I won't be surprised. But I'm going to go with he's definitely lost his V card.
Good for him. Great job.
Yeah, I know.
Character growth, baby.
Love it, baby.
All right. So we're at the first planet that's about to be destroyed. Summer is just getting done banging these two elbow guys. And they're saying like, hey, the sun's about to explode. If we time it right, we can skeet while the sun explodes. And Summer's like, yeah, okay, but can you go get my purse? Anything for you, Mrs. Obama?
Love it.
And they just run off.
Can you both go get it? I love that. Yeah. It's so stupid. It's like such a not like slick way to be like, get the fuck out of here, both of you.
She immediately bounces and meets up with Rick in the spaceship. But this is where we see the two guys come back with like 100 purses. One of these has got to be hers. Mm-hmm. Oh, she ditched us. Oh, well, it's her loss. And then right to the elbow licking. And in the beginning, you're like, what the hell is going on? Like, this is their genital spot.
It just reminded me of the eye holes.
Yeah.
Scene where they're like, oh, your eye holes and my eye holes. Like,
I think that is one of the most uncomfortable scenes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the same thing here. But they do fly off, and we do hear
hello.
Yeah, we hear a hello in the background as Summer and Rick are flying off. We know there's a third person in the spaceship, but we don't find out who it is until a couple scenes later.
And he is schwasty, baby. Yeah. He is fucked up.
He is dumb.
Summer's like, hey, are you going to drive? He's like, oh, no, yeah, I got it.
Finishes a couple times.
Yeah, it's two walls and then goes to the clock tower. That's all going to be destroyed anyway. It doesn't matter. But okay, so this is the part of the episode that confused me the most, it didn't really make sense. I know a lot of the shit doesn't really make sense, but they're pretty consistent. This just was very inconsistent.
Summoning both of them.
Yeah. So the four kids are at some convention. They summon Planetina and
some convention. It's EcoCon, bro.
Oh, is that what it was?
Do you not care about our planet?
It's <I'm sorry>. EcoCon.
It's incredible.
So they're at EcoCon. Fuck yeah. I love the Earth. And they summon Planetina, and I guess she was still in bed with Morty because Morty gets summoned along with her and completely spooning. And they're all shocked. The crowd is gasping. They're like, oh, shit, get that kid out of there. They not summon. What's the opposite of summon?
Banish.
They banish. They expel.
Yeah.
Planetina out of there. But this time, Morty doesn't go with her, which I was like, okay.
Yeah, now that you're saying that, it is weird, the physics behind that. I don't really understand that.
Like, why not the first time? Or why the first time and why not the second time?
Yeah.
I know it's because Eddie needed to get Morty in a closet, but like, I don't know. It just seemed a little weird. They're usually pretty good and not usually that lazy
plot
at writing.
Holes, yeah.
I want to say.
I was more concerned with the fact that he truly looked like a little baby child on her spooning.
Yeah.
Like,
position.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, with the pedophilia.
Yeah. Like when he first jumped in her arms and they flew away together, she was holding him like a
baby.
Yeah. Like straight up baby. Good for him though.
Yeah.
Good enough.
Yeah.
They made a really quick joke after they took Morty away. Eddie's like, oh, like I know how to handle this guy. But to distract the crowd, they're like, all right, who wants to buy these $50 Funko Pops? Which have taken like shots at those because they are ridiculously overpriced.
They really are.
But I mean, they're cool. I fucking love them.
I have multiple.
Yeah.
For my one birthday, three different people got me Lexa from the 100.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just three Lexa Funko
Pops. Boyfriend, best friend, brother. And then the next year, two people got me the same Winona Earp Funko Pop.
Do you like make them kiss and stuff?
I do. All the time.
All right, so we're back at the second planet here with Summer and Rick, and Summer is just completely fucked up. She's
seen better days at this point in time.
Her eyes are two different shades of red. She has a...
One's severely swollen.
Yeah, she's got a ice skate on top of her head. She's got these insane pants on, and she's got a joint up her nose.
Some.
Yeah, and she's just saying, hey, like, you can't lock me down. Like, these two dudes with three eyes... wearing these yellow jumpsuits that just say piss across them.
And they have tubes attached to their dicks that feed into their mouth. So it's like, what is that supposed to be?
Okay.
What's going on there?
So are they the piss guys? Yeah. All right. That makes sense. Yeah. They like their own piss, but basically Summer's like, you can't tie this down. I'm fucking out of here. And she sees, cause somebody says, oh, there's two old people dancing over there. And we see Daphne's still with Rick for some reason. And they're doing like the old school back up, few steps, go forward, touch feet, back up, doing like this whole routine. And Summer's all pissed. She's like, what the hell? Like, you said no getting attached. Rick is just saying, like, hey, like, nothing wrong with being in love.
So I'm going to comment this now. What I was reading is that apparently this is a kind of sign, a sign of Rick's jealousy of Morty, that Morty is able to find love in Planet Tina, and now Rick's going out and like trying to find his own love, I guess, because this is like a fling. He's like in love with this fling of his that he would never usually fall for. He would usually just hit it and quit it, but now he's kind of like, and this kind of plays into that vulnerability we've been talking about the past couple episodes of him actually becoming more of like a family man rather than his old adventurous just fuck itself. So I just thought that was interesting that here we get a little bit of jealousy where it's usually Morty jealous of Rick, but now Rick's kind of doing his own thing to kind of smite Morty, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah, it's weird because I can't remember her name. The one chick who the one episode where they go to Rick's ex-girlfriend and she's like a hive mind and she controls like a million different people.
Yeah.
I want to say like
Unity.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Multiplicity. And I was like, that is way too long for her name.
That's good though.
That's a great name.
That could easily have been her name.
Yeah,
that's totally Rick and Morty name right there.
Yeah, like so we saw that Rick loved her because like, you know, she was able to do all that shit for him, but now like Rick's falling for this. Well, I guess she does have elbow titties.
Because he was saying like, she's like, because he was, it's kind of the same thing. You're right, because he was saying about what's her name, Daphne here. He was just like, oh, she'll do like anything I say, like we'll do anything
nasty
together. Yeah, it's just like the same thing with Unity, and then like, but like, look how that ended. Like he gets bored of it eventually. So, but again, the jealousy thing.
Jumping back to Earth, Morty is in the closet. He's getting interrogated by Eddie.
I love this.
Who I honestly didn't know it was Buscemi.
Yeah,
I'm glad it was.
Yeah.
I the voice sounded familiar.
Yeah,
I honestly thought it was a guy from Seinfeld. But. It makes it so much better that it was Buscemi. And here, Morty finds out that they just view Planetina as a source of money. They don't view her as a person. They just see her as something fiscal, basically.
Yeah.
And Eddie is the keeper of the fire ring. So he sets fire to this mop and is like, hey, maybe Planetina won't like you too much if you don't look as pretty. And right as he's about to burn him, Morty somehow kicks him out. Kicks his legs out from underneath him, uses the burning mop to burn the rope tying his hands. And he's saying, oh, you want a piece of me, you piece of shit? You want to go? And he starts beating the shit out of him, bites his fire ring finger off, and then uses it to burn him to a crisp.
I'm going to be honest. Morty, Summer, and Beth, when those three get angry, they could take on literally almost anyone in the world. If you trigger them in any way, like they'll kick some fucking ass. Like it's crazy.
I mean, episode one of this season, like you want to go Narnia? Let's fucking go. Yeah,
exactly. Like once you cross that threshold of like them getting pissed, you're not going to see the light of day.
And it definitely didn't happen in the beginning. I feel like,
no, I mean, this is them becoming Rick, and that's why it's funny because Rick is becoming more like them while they are becoming more like Rick.
Yeah, totally.
Wow.
And as soon as he stole his first ring, I was like, all right, I know where this is going. He's going to collect them all. And that's what we get the next scene. There's the three other of Planetina's kids in like a board meeting. They're about to sell her off to it was funny. They made it a point to say, I do not represent one group of people. I am just a random person.
I loved that.
And all of a sudden, who ordered pizza? And like, nobody ordered pizza. And fucking Morty in his murder pie outfit goes, it's a pizza for you. It's a special. Throws Eddie's head on the table. I know there's cheekbones anywhere. That's Eddie. Kill him. And then, you know, all hell breaks loose. Thought it was an amazing fight scene.
Yeah, it was good. Probably my favorite scene in the episode. Him just fucking everyone up.
These are always my favorite scenes.
I mean, we just said when he gets serious, man, he can fuck anybody up.
And dude, when he punches the girl in the mouth and then says air and her head blows up, like, fucking insanity. And then he's combining awesome. The elements next. Like, he then combines fire and earth to make magma and then cools them off so they could harden, get the ring. You know, it's fucking crazy.
It was what cool. Was this shit? I liked when that one guy, when he was shooting icicles at Morty right off the bat, he goes, cold water, cold water. Like, he doesn't want to say ice.
Yeah, he doesn't say cold ice, water. He says cold water. I didn't even notice that.
So, yeah, they can finally be together now. Planetina and Morty, or Plorty.
Cut to Jerry. What a romantic story about our son killing a room full of people.
Yeah.
What he'll ridiculous. Do for love.
I'm glad they say that, though, because it's like stay aware, self-aware. Yeah, you know, I love when Rick and Morty does that. They're very self-aware.
So we're back in the spaceship and Rick, Daphne and Summer are going to planet number 3. And Daphne comes up. Hey, got any water up here? It's getting kind of crazy back there. And Summer's completely fed up. She's telling Daphne Rick is going to ditch her as soon as the third planet hits or whatever, because they're just there to smash and pass. And this is where she whips them out, her moneymakers, her blurred elbow titties.
Yeah.
And even when she whips them out, even Summer goes, whoa. So they must have been good.
She was like, whoa. And she was like horrified almost by them. She's like, do you want me to put them away? He's like, okay, only because you're Rick's granddaughter.
Wars have been fought over these ruined kings, inspired presidents. 100 songs and 9 national anthems have been written about them. Best set of elbow tits in the galaxy.
I'm so glad you got that quote, because I was fully prepared to just dissect this episode so I could get it. That is so good.
My favorite. And she's swinging them around too while she's saying all this.
That might have been one of the that's one of my favorite lines so far this season, to be honest. It's so random. It's like 9 national anthems. Yeah. Like, what is that? It's just so
random. I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna call for an unblurred elbow titty. I want to see what they look like.
I was so curious to know what they were looking
like. It was
like.
Blurred, but it looked like 2 on each elbow still.
They looked like balls.
Yeah, it really did. I thought they were balls.
I wasn't sure what they were at first.
If you go back and watch like the first planet, like the guys that were sucking each other's elbows, like they were like, they looked like balls. Yeah.
I thought it looked like a hole. Like they were looking.
Yeah, holes, whatever.
Elbow holes.
Elbow.
Whatever.
But they go back to smashing, and then we go to the family at home with Rick. Jerry makes an appearance, our boy, and Beth and Planetina. They're playing this ridiculous board game that I can't even begin to understand the concept of the game. But
You don't know it, dude. You put all the food in his mouth, and then you get the boxing glove on a spring, and then you hit him in the stomach until he vomits it all up again.
The actor who voices Jerry looks like Jerry.
Yeah.
Have you seen him?
Yeah, he's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine quite a bit, and he's in Archer. He's the voice for Archer. I feel like he's blowing up as a voice actor like over the past like few years.
I mean Rick and Morty has done wonders for people. I feel like, I mean, they have a lot of good Sarah Chalk as Summer, as Beth, and like all of them are pretty big names.
He's like the same character.
Suppressing fire.
Yeah, he's that guy. He just plays the bitch role in like all the shows.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know what it was about Solar Opposites, but it was throwing me off that I was like, that's Rick. You know what I mean? Like when they share the voices between shows, like with Family Guy or whatever it is, it's like, I can't separate it. Like you're just Rick. If I close my eyes, it's Rick.
Cyril Figgis
from Archer. Yes, that's what it was. But Kathleen, I totally, like in Solar Opposites, he would have the same like sentence cadence and stutter. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, that's totally Rick.
Uh-huh.
It totally does throw you off. So it's Planetina, Morty, Beth, and Jerry. And Morty and Planetina are telling Beth that they plan on moving in together now that they're free. Now that she's free. And Beth is not about it at all. She's like, no, you're 14 and I don't know what you are. You should probably leave. And this is where Morty storms out. Something I didn't mention the first time. When Morty storms out with the because Beth won't give him money to go to the forest fire, he slams the door, and then after a few seconds comes in and slams it like six more times. Emily looked at me and goes, I used to do that as a kid.
That's perfect.
So this one, they slam the door and Beth is like looking at the door, waiting for him to come back and slam it a few times. But he doesn't. And he runs away, jumps into Planetina's arms, and then they fly off.
I do love, though, that Jerry tries to get like he only has literally half a line this episode, but it gets immediately cut off by shut up, Jerry.
Yeah.
Like just no one gives him the time of day.
So this is like the really dramatic scene, right? He sort of first of all. That storm out was amazing. Like his freak out is pretty valid. Like the things he says about how nobody listens to him, everything he says is whatever. Like I actually really love that. He had tears in his eyes. I was like, almost going to be like great acting. Also, it's a fucking cartoon. But I love the song that's playing. It's a great song. It's really intense. It's called, I just looked it up.
Someone on the Reddit was like, this is the only time I've ever had to like look up a song for the show because I love the song.
It's so called much. I Am the Antichrist to You.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. It's a great scene. I loved it. I was like, this is good. This song is amazing.
Yeah. It's weird because there's almost no jokes in the entire Morty storyline. Like,
totally.
From after Morty splits from Rick from the opening scene, it's almost like there's very few jokes. And if not, it's not even Morty saying them. It's like Jerry in the background being a fucking idiot.
Right.
It's very weird.
Then we get the montage of basically Planetina and Morty going around saving the world, well, the Earth specifically, the environment and all this stuff. And then eventually, like, we can see the progression of him, his love for her kind of dwindling with each scene, it seems like. And then when they get to this mine shaft, apparently, or something, this is where things start to get out of hand for the couple.
Yeah, honestly, there was a few before that. There was two. So the first questionable one when she's like on the highway and she just goes and slashes every single car's tires and then lights up a sign that says walk. Mm-hmm. And Morty's like, thumbs up. Like, I don't know. I guess that was good. Next one, she throws a Molotov cocktail and burns down a congressman's house. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? And then, yeah, this one goes to the miners. She tries to tell him to stop. And these miners are like, no, like, we're not going to just quit our jobs. She freaks out. She's like, can't you hear the planet screaming? And she gets like, she turns red, like mad. Like, I don't know if that's a thing Mr. Planet does, but she looked mad and she just murdered. What did Morty say? Like 300 people.
Yeah. That day she ended up murdering like 300 people or something like that. But in that mine shaft alone was like, there's like, she's going around. She cuts the mine shafts people down and then goes around killing everyone else. So yeah, 300 people.
I mean, it's a classic villain origin story where you have this power, you're trying to use it for good, and then it goes way too far and you just end up fucking everything up. Too much power, man.
Yeah, literally, I think like 45 seconds after Morty had the line where he was talking to Beth, like, you think everything decision I make is stupid?
It's pretty good.
Like, yeah, that was pretty stupid, Morty. Like, this person did suck. He's looking at her, just destroying everybody. You can tell he's pretty torn about what to do. Yeah, pretty over her, honestly. But back to the third and final planet, Summer and Rick are just in this planet. I forget what it's called. They bring it up a few times, but basically giant orgy going on.
Planet Furcus 9.
Furcus 9. So the first two were all parties. This one's all orgy. And first line we get is, I can't believe I'm banging my coworkers and I'm the boss. Followed up by, this gay sex with my dad is amazing. What was I thinking?
Jesus Christ.
It was so out of left field. I was just like, I wasn't like, I was paying attention to the show, but then like that line came in and I was like, what?
Yeah, that one was a little questionable. Followed up by a guy going, hey, like, Earth is about to be destroyed. This planet's about to be destroyed. Last chance to pee on me. Anybody? Summer's ready to go. He's telling Rick, yo, it's about to be destroyed. Let's get in the ship and go out of here. In a little bit. Like being in love is pretty fun. Like, I'm going to stay here and do this.
I love saving a world just despite somebody.
Yeah.
It's classic.
Yeah. They're just not leaving. So Summer's, you know what? Gets in the ship, has to swim through bodies in that orgy to get to it. And then blows up the asteroid, you know, comes back down. You know, hey, you're welcome. You don't have to worry. You guys are saved. And she walks up to Rick and says, you know, okay, Daphne just was coming with you, just tagging along just to live. So now that she doesn't have to tag along, like, she's going to stay here. And Rick's like, no, she's not. She's going to come with, right, Daphne? She's like, well,
goodbye.
Yeah. Rick is like, oh, you cold bitch. Hello. Goodbye. So, yeah.
That was pretty good impersonation.
That was pretty good.
Hello. Just ridiculous.
Then we get them in the spaceship. Rick's very pissed at Summer, but Summer's just like trying to make sense of it all. And then
right before they jump in the spaceship, all the people are like, hey, she's the one that destroyed the asteroid. And now we have to go to work tomorrow.
I'd be pissed too. I'd be fucking mad. It's been a long week and it's only been 2 days.
Yeah, fuck living and fuck work. Let me just
fuck living.
But yeah, Dave, they're back on the ship and Rick's a little upset with Summer, but he's saying, you know what? That was pretty Rick of you. So, you know, I am proud in the end.
It literally was to literally save a planet to spite someone else. Like, that's literally Rick's shit right there. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there is pretty much no jokes for the rest of the episode after the now we got to go to work tomorrow line, because I have that Rick and Summer reconciliation. And now it goes back to Morty, who's just breaking up with Planetina. And it's like serious note dead on for the rest of the episode. You know, they're texting. I don't know what you want me to say to you, all this other stuff. He realizes she's right outside. They talk a little bit. And basically, he's saying, you killed 300 people. Like, what do you expect me to do?
But in her mind, too, she's making a fair argument in the fact that, like, if I don't kill these people, like, everyone's going to die because the planet is literally dying currently, like all the pollution shit. So like they just won't see eye to eye on this.
Kill the few to save the many, baby.
Yeah, it's just like it's really a philosophical episode when you get behind like the pedophilia and like, well, not maybe that specifically, but like this whole like relationship like is just
the incest.
Yeah, that. Yeah. But then you also see the flowers too are now sad. If you didn't catch that, like
they're all wilted. Happy.
Yeah, they're all wilted, and it's a sad.
And like a petal fell, like
from
a tear.
Its tear. Yeah.
But yeah, she has a line. I guess that is going into why people like it so much. Planetina's like, those miners voted people in the office just so they could keep their jobs, even though they're killing the planet. So like, I don't know. Were they trying to make like a political point here? Were they trying to?
I think so. I really think so too.
Her earlier in the episode, she was wearing a Prop 6 shirt. Or against Prop 6, it's like the rail, yeah, the railroad. Like I had to like read up on it because I didn't know what that was.
I did see that, and I thought somebody else is gonna know, so I don't have to look it up.
But yeah, Morty's crying in Beth's arms. Beth kind of they share a moment a little bit, and then we get to the weird part. But I do want to say, do we think Planetina is gonna come back?
Yeah, I literally wrote down like, why is this writing so serious? Why would it end the episode like this, unless it's teeing up for something else to come?
I think that's what it is. Like, it's not going to end. Although, what was the ending of last episode? I feel like it was also kind of like,
oh, it was they were in the ship and like, oh, somebody killed the decoy family.
Oh, right. So it wasn't that serious. But I think Planetina is going to come back. I'm not going to say I'm excited to have her back on the show, but like, she's definitely going to come back.
I don't know that she'll be a main part. Like, I always like any callback. So as long as she's just like in out.
Each episode, we have been introduced to a potential new side character that could come down later the road. So the first episode was Nimbus. Mr. Nimbus.
Yeah.
Second episode was Mr. I Want to Be Hunted. And the third episode is Planetina. So we're gearing up for maybe a big battle royale of side characters. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah, well, true. They did say last episode, one of the last decoy Ricks said, when Mr. Always Wants to Be Hunted comes in and kills him, he says, oh, like, who are you? Like, did we tee you up for something? Like, what's going on? So maybe they did actually tee him up. Mm. Maybe they teed up Mr. Nimbus. Maybe you're exactly right. Holy shit. Now that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Teeing up Nimbus, teeing up Mr. Always Want to Be Hunted, and Planetina.
Then if you want to break us down this final scene of total awkwardness.
Christ. So somebody from the third planet walks into his bakery shop, talking to the owner, like, morning, slow day. Is mom in the back? Mom's not talking to us anymore. Because we had sex? Yep. Yeah, that makes sense. Happy birthday, by the way.
So insane. Like, so fucking insane.
So awkward. Just totally unnecessary. I don't know why they had to include this, but.
Yeah, after he said slow day, he's like, oh, yeah, it's almost like people thought the world were going to end and we weren't going to be here tomorrow. Mom in the back?
It's so awkward.
Yeah,
but,
it sucks.
Overall, I think we've expressed it enough. Yeah. Just not a great episode. If we want to go in a circle, with rating it out of 10, I'll start. I'll give it a 6, and that even might be generous. A 6 out of 10. I'll give it a 5.5. How about that? 5.5 out of 10. And this is probably the lowest episode I've ever given any Rick and Morty episode.
Yeah. It was so funny because I wanted to be on this episode before I watched it. Yeah, and then I watched it and I was like, I picked the worst one. But it was still good. I liked it. I'll give it a 5 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm right there. 5 out of 10, which is the lowest I would never imagine I would rate a Rick and Morty episode this low, but I mean, it wasn't there for me unless I was missing something crazy.
I would still rate this probably over another show. You know what I mean? But for a Rick and Morty, 5 out of 10. Sick.
I do want to say though, I'm still looking forward to the rest of the season to see where it goes. We've had just so much buildup of, like we've talked about it, of, you know, Rick's wife or dead wife now. And this has always just been a theme of Rick and Morty where it's like the first couple episodes seem to be non-plot heavy and just kind of introduce new characters and whatnot. And then the second half seems to kind of pick that up usually, but I'm always excited for it.
Yeah. I mean, always excited for the next episode.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for us, guys. If you like what you heard, we cover a lot of good stuff. The Boys, Loki, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Haunting of Hill House, The Magicians, a lot of really good TV. Follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a follow on whatever social you may be on, or check us out at BingeDownTV.com. You can leave a review, buy merch, or you can sign up for our brand new Patreon. Once again, we are BingeDownTV, and thank you for listening.
Hello, goodbye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.